So today we're in the third week of our series, if you're just joining us, called Boat Stories. And it's not just because we love talking about boats and summer's ending, all that stuff's good. It's because there's a lot of things that God did either on a boat or in a boat, around a boat, in the Bible. And we're looking at, in this four-week series, we're looking at a lot of different boat stories to see how they apply to our lives. In week one, we talked about Noah and really how God called Noah to build a boat, to do something that didn't make sense, and how he had to take a step of faith and trust that God would be faithful. Last week we talked about Jonah, which isn't really a story about what God wants to do in Nineveh. It is, but it's also a story about what God wants to do in Jonah. It's really a story about God's grace and how God wants to love everybody and reach out to people through us. And so today, what I want to talk to you about, like I said a little bit ago, is as we sail through life, sometimes we're going to face some storms in our life. And what I want to talk to you about today is, what do you do when you're in the middle of a storm? What do you do when you encounter some kind of storm in your life? You know, a couple years ago, my wife Mandy and I took Mandy's mom, Sherry, to the lake with us. And we tried to go personally to the lake some. My parents have a boat. And we decided she hadn't been out on a boat in a long time, a couple years ago. And we said, let's just invite her, let her come out there with us. Let's spend some time together. And so we packed up everything. And it's a process to pack up for the lake. You know, by then, at that time, Peyton was, you know, very little. And so we had a lot of stuff to take. The little they are, the more stuff they have. I don't know how that works, but that's the way it is. And so with life jackets and towels and all the stuff we had to bring to go to the lake, packed up the cooler. So we got everything loaded after a long time, and we drove about 30 minutes north to where my parents keep the boat. And we got to the lake, and it was beautiful out. It was awesome just seeing everything. This is going to be a great day. And we got out on the lake. We drove out, and because it was such a beautiful day, a perfect day, hardly anybody was out there. The weather was perfect. I decided, hey, this is a good opportunity to ski. I don't get to do that very much when it's me and Mandy and the kids, because she's holding the kids, and that's not a good idea. And so I decided, well, Mandy, why don't you drive this time? I usually do. Why don't you drive, and I'll ski behind the boat? And so she pulls me up, and I'm skiing along, and I don't know, all of a sudden, the skies opened up, and what was a perfectly sunny day on the lake turned into a torrential downpour. We were in the middle of an awful, awful storm. And I started kind of freaking out, because she's driving the boat, and she does a good job driving the boat, but she's not used to that. And so I started hollering to her, hey, stop the boat. You know, I let go of the rope and I swam in, and it's raining cats and dogs. And I got into the boat, and I took over the wheel, and it became very clear we weren't going to get out of this storm. We weren't going to be able to like just sit there and let the storm pass. And so I basically took the boat, and we started driving as fast as we could to the marina. And as fast as we drove, the storm started raining more and more and more, harder and harder. And if you've ever been on a boat or on a motorcycle or whatever, and it's raining outside, it's not fun. It feels like needles are piercing your skin. And so not only was this awful storm, and it was hard to see, and I know the lake well, but I was having trouble navigating the waters. I was starting to get worried we weren't going to make it out of there. And you know, the truth is, when we go through a storm in our life, isn't that kind of how it feels when we're in the middle of some kind of storm, when something happens that we don't expect, when something in our life is going on? I mean, what do you do today? What I want to talk about, what do you do when your boat starts getting rocked? What do you do when your boat gets rocked? Or what do you do when your ship gets wrecked? Maybe even worse. See, sometimes we go through difficulties, circumstances, or we encounter problems, whether it's in our work life or in our relationships, whether it's in our family. And sometimes a storm just pops up in our life, and it seems like it just came out of nowhere. And so today I want to talk to you about, what do you do in the middle of a storm, but what do you do when you don't know what to do? And so today we're going to look at two stories, boat stories in the Bible. One is with Jesus, and the other one is with the Apostle Paul. So let's start with Jesus. That's a good place to start in our lives. So let's start with Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 23 through 24, and we'll read past that. But Jesus is on the boat with his disciples. He basically tells them to go out on the boat. He's with them. And I want you to check out what happens. You can open your Bibles if you have it, or you can check out the words on the screen. Here's how the story goes. Then he, that's Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. This is going to be a great day on the lake, right? Not necessarily. Suddenly, you can underline that. Suddenly, a ferocious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're ever on a boat and waves start crashing over the boat, that's a bad sign. I mean, you know, I know that from just, you know, little toy boats when I was little. That's not a good thing. The ship could go down. And I want you to notice how it says suddenly, suddenly. See, it's really funny in our lives. It's not usually a problem if you know about a storm way in advance. I mean, if you know about that a storm's coming, you can prepare for it. I mean, if we knew that the storm was coming while we were on the lake, we wouldn't have gone out on the boat. We could have avoided it altogether. But storms don't usually come like that. They don't usually come where you can prepare for it ahead of time. Real storms and real battles usually come by surprise. And you get, maybe in your life, you get a call from a family member. That you, and you get the news that maybe somebody's sick that you thought was well. Or maybe you find out that you show up at work one day and you come to find out the company is downsizing and you're part of the plan, suddenly. Or maybe a conflict arises in a relationship and you're left trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces. It usually, when a storm in life comes, you don't usually plan on it. It comes suddenly. And the same happened with the disciples. Which, by the way, this is an aside. We're going to talk about this more next week. When your boat gets rocked, when the boat in your life gets rocked, it's not always a bad thing. It's not always a bad thing. In fact, if the boat in your life has never been rocked, it may mean that you've never gotten off of the dock and into the boat. We'll talk about that more next week. But the reality is, in life, we should experience times when the boat is rocking because it means that you're going somewhere. It means that you're using your gifts. It means that you're serving. It means that you're sometimes trusting God with things that you can't do on your own. Sometimes it's not a bad thing when the boat gets rocked. But so the disciples are in the boat. The waves are crashing against the boat. The boat's rocking. The waves are coming over top of it. And the disciples are starting to freak out. But check out where Jesus was. Here's what it says he was doing. But Jesus was sleeping. And when I read this, it's like, are you serious? Jesus, I mean, why would you be asleep when we're going through a storm? And if we're really honest, isn't that really the biggest fear we have when we go through some kind of storm in our life? That maybe Jesus is, you know, maybe Jesus is somehow asleep at the wheel. That maybe Jesus isn't paying attention in some kind of way. I think we all kind of worry about that. Like, yeah, God, we know you got us in the good times, but God, what happens when it feels like you're asleep at the wheel? What happens when things happen in our lives? See, most people know that God is powerful and big and God cares for us, but is God even paying attention when we need him most? And I think that's the point for most of us where we struggle to trust God. We struggle to trust God that if we take a step, that God's going to be faithful. If we take a step of faith, that God's going to be faithful and he's going to catch us. Here's how it continues, verse 25 through 27. It says this, the disciples went and woke him. Of course they did, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Isn't this what we often pray to God when we're going through something? God, everything's falling apart. God, do you even see what's happening? God's like, yeah, I know. I know. Check out what Jesus says. He replied, oh, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Hello. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Verse 27, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You see, it's interesting. When we go through storms in life or when it seems like Jesus is asleep at the wheel, it doesn't mean that Jesus isn't paying attention to your life. In fact, Jesus was in control the whole time. He was in control of the storm. And so as the waves were kicking up, Jesus stood up. And by the way, the very front of a boat, I've heard it, that it's called a pulpit. And it's kind of interesting how Jesus stands on this pulpit and he preaches to the storm that people are in the middle of. And he speaks over that. And when he speaks into the storm goes immediately calm. And everybody's like, wow, how did you do that? You know, it's kind of like they forgot who was on the boat with them. And it's interesting that, and the good news for you and for me is that when your building is burning or when your boat is rocking, Jesus is ready. Jesus is able to respond to you. He does. And so I want to give you four things today about what to do or what it means when you go through storms in life. Here's the first one. The first thing is this. Sometimes when you encounter storms, sometimes God will allow you to encounter storms in order to grow you into the person he wants you to be. Now, that doesn't mean God causes everything to happen. There's a lot of things at play. We live in a broken world. Sometimes we mess up and kind of cause stuff to happen. We know that. There's also powers of darkness and, you know, the enemy that tries to steal, kill, and destroy God's good plan for your life. There's a lot of things at play. But God will often allow you to encounter storms in order to grow you into the person he wants you to be. You know, God is more concerned with your character than your comfort. And that's hard to hear sometimes, because in the American gospel, sometimes, we've been lied to and maybe tended to believe that if we're just close to Jesus, then Jesus will just take away all of our problems, that we won't go through anything life because Jesus has taken the wheel. You know, Jesus has my life, and he does. But check out what Jesus said. It's not on the screen, but here's what it says. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said this: "In this world, you will have trouble." Thanks for the promise, Jesus. We know in this world you will have trouble. But he finishes this. He says, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." See, sometimes we forget that the same God who was placed on a cross, who died and paid the price for our sins so that we could have access into the presence and to a relationship with God, that same God who raised Jesus from the dead after the third day, that same God who proclaimed the gospel to thousands and thousands of people through his disciples, and they said yes to being a part of what Jesus wanted to do. Sometimes we forget that that same Jesus is with us in the middle of our storm. See, Jesus didn't promise that if we're close to him, that he'll just take away all of our problems. But he did promise that if we're with him, that no matter what we face, he can help us in the middle of our storms. Do you think Jesus was surprised by the storm? No way. I mean, Jesus, you know, he kind of has foreknowledge. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the future, but he wasn't surprised. In fact, it's funny. I think it's funny that Jesus remained asleep. It's like he was trying to teach him a lesson. I mean, Jesus knew the storm was coming, and I believe he purposefully stayed asleep to expose their trust or their distrust in him. See, they had Jesus on the boat, and they thought that when the storm came and when the waves started breaking against them, that all of a sudden the waves were going to overtake them. And we do this in our life so many times when we face some kind of storm, and oh, it may be so big. And we start looking at the storm, we say, oh, this is so big, and there's no way I can get out of this. And we forget that Jesus is in the boat with us. Just like the disciples forgot. And it's almost like Jesus is saying to the guys after he wakes up, guys, see? I mean, haven't I told you that you can trust me through anything? I mean, I allowed the storm to come while I was asleep because I wanted you to realize that I'm in the boat with you. And I wanted to grow your faith and your trust in me. So sometimes storms make you aware of your need for God. They're not always a bad thing. And sometimes it's funny, we go through things and it's like, oh, this is too big for me to handle. You ever said that before? You know, it's funny. Sometimes when we go through things that's too big to handle, it's supposed to feel too big to handle oftentimes. Because you're not supposed to handle the storm without Jesus in the boat. This is why we need God in our lives. And so the second boat story, finish up that point, storms often grow your faith and your trust in God. The second boat story we're going to talk about is probably a more less familiar one. It's with Paul, the Apostle Paul, and it's in Acts chapter 27, almost at the very end of the book of Acts. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is on a ship and he's in some trouble. And not just what's happening to him, he's actually a prisoner on this ship. He kind of got thrown into prison a few times for his faith in Jesus. And this time, here he was again, arrested for his association with Gentiles. Wouldn't you know it? And here Paul is. He's being transported as a prisoner to Rome. And he was supposed to stand trial before Caesar. Now, this is kind of a big deal. And so I want you to recognize here, Paul is not on a cruise ship. I mean, he's not like taking a sightseeing tour. I mean, maybe you've gone online before and said, oh, it'd be nice to go to Rome. I mean, to think about all the things we could do there. This is not what Paul was doing. I mean, he's not looking at the menu on the cruise ship and wondering if he should order lobster or steak tonight. He is a prisoner in chains as he's on this boat. But not only that, all of a sudden, a storm, a really, really bad storm, tries to overtake the boat. They encounter it while they're traveling together. And so they have to decide, as he's on the boat with 275 other people, most of them prisoners, he has to decide what voice to listen to about the storm he's going through. And so the wind is starting to break up. It's starting to blow against them so that they can't control where they're going. And the sailors are having trouble maneuvering the boat. I want you to check out what it says. Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 11. It says this, much time had been lost. And sailing had already become dangerous because now it was the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives. He's a great preacher. He's not just telling them what they want to hear. He's telling them sometimes the difficult words that they need to hear in order to warn them and to allow them to turn toward the Lord. Here's what it says, verse 11. But the centurion, that's the guy who's in charge of transporting prisoners, the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Of course he did, right? I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, if you're in some kind of storm of some kind, you know, if you got to make some kind of decision about sailing, you listen to the advice of the pilot who knows the ship. You don't listen to the preacher who thinks they know everything about everything, right? Sometimes we do, you know, praise God for what God, how God uses us and stuff like that. Well, you don't listen to a prisoner on how to drive the ship. You listen to the pilot. And so that's what the centurion does. And so Paul gives this advice. They don't listen to it. And when they don't listen to it, they paid for it. Because Paul wasn't representing just a preacher. He wasn't representing just a prisoner. He was representing the voice of God and what God wanted to do for these people to protect them. And so Paul, it's like he's saying, look, the Spirit of God is telling me this, but they didn't listen. Here's the second thing I want you to know. When you go through a storm in your life, steer by the Spirit, not by your senses. Steer by the Spirit, not by your senses. See, it's so easy to feel in our lives like, and to be steered by our senses. Because we often walk based on what we see, don't we? We often respond based on how we feel about something. And we navigate through life based upon our surroundings and what they tell us. But the problem is our surroundings and our feelings can't forecast the future. Only God can do that. And so this is why we have to steer by the Spirit, not our senses. So I have a question for you. When something happens in your life, when a storm breaks, or you have to make some kind of decision in your life, where do you usually turn for advice? Do you go to a friend? Do you go to a family member? Do you go to Facebook? Do you go to, you know, something on the internet? Do you go to Google or your feelings? Where do you usually ask and how do you usually make a decision? See, instead of listening and following the voice of God above all others, it's so tempting to listen to all other voices instead of God. And I want to challenge you that when you have a decision to make, you're going to have decisions probably coming up real soon about as school is starting and so many other things. When you have a decision to make or when you're in the middle of a storm, next time it comes up, I want to challenge you the first place you turn. I want to invite you, what would it look like to open the scripture and to say, God, what do you want to say to me? What do your scriptures say about this very situation? We can help you find some scriptures, but what if you went there first and said, God, what do you have to say to me? Or what if you went to the Lord in prayer and said, God, I don't know where this is going. I don't understand the circumstances, but I need your help and I need you to guide me. And you listen to what God wants to say. I think it would save a lot of time and worry. And I think God would take you exactly where he wants you to be. So steer by the Spirit, not by your senses. And so Paul was right, of course. A storm starts breaking up. In fact, here's what it says, verses 14 through 15, after they didn't listen to Paul. It says this, before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. And verse 15, let me read it to you. It says this. It says, the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it. And we're driven along. Now, there's a lot we can say here about driven along. So many of us live our lives just being driven along by whatever storms or whatever circumstances we face, just being driven along. And so this ship and these people were just being driven along. And then Paul comes to him and he responds to them. Verse 27, here's what he says, verse 21. He says this, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. It's like, thanks, Paul. I mean, anybody can tell me what I should have done. I mean, that's really obvious, right? And so many times in our lives, like so many times we live our lives looking in the rearview mirror, kind of looking back of like, I should have done that. If only I would have listened to God. If only I would have done that. If only I would have made that decision. But here's the good news. Paul says this, but now. See, so many times in our life, instead of looking in the rearview mirror, we miss the but now that God is inviting us to be part of. Whenever we miss something and miss a step that God wants us to take, God almost always provides for us a but now. But now. Here's another opportunity for you to step into where I'm calling you to go. Here's what he says. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. There's good news and there's bad news. Not one will be destroyed. The ship will be lost. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Everybody's going to be saved. So keep up your courage, men, Paul says. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Now, this is the funniest line to me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. It's like, there's some hope, buddy, but we got to crash the ship. I mean, it's kind of funny. There's consequences sometimes when we don't follow the Lord. But here's kind of what happens. And here's what I want to tell you thirdly is this. When your boat is getting rocked, fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on God and keep up your courage. Fix your eyes on God and keep up your courage. I mean, this is what the disciples in the boat forgot to do. They started looking at the storm and saying, what are we going to do? And how are we going to manage this? Fix your eyes on God and keep up your courage. They took their eyes off the Lord. They forgot who was in the boat. And the same was true with these people. See, I think that means as we focus on God and keep walking with him, we realize that God is bigger than what we face. And so Paul is confident, not based on his surroundings or his circumstances, but Paul is confident and he's placed his faith in the promises of God. It's like Paul is saying to the guys this, it will happen just as God told me. And I don't know about you, but I have trouble when God tells me something. I often say, but God, what about this? And what if this happens? Playing the what if game. I want to be more like Paul, that when God says something to me, I want to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm ready to step. I'm ready to take my next step with you. That's what God's wanting to do in your life, helping you to trust him day by day and step by step. And so he's focused and confident in the promises of God. And so Paul essentially tells them there's good news and there's bad news. All of your lives are going to be saved, but the ship's going down. Keep up your courage. How do you keep up your courage when the ship goes down? How do you do that? I love what Stephen Furtick once said when he said that you've got to separate your courage from your conditions. You got to separate your courage from your conditions. See, if your courage and your confidence in God is always dependent on your conditions that are around you, then what happens all of a sudden when your bank account goes down? Your confidence goes down in God. Your courage and where you're going goes down, doesn't it? See, don't let your conditions dictate your courage. Let your faith in your constant God keep you moving forward. Keep your eyes on God and keep moving forward, having confidence. So they crash the ship onto this island. You can read about it more in Acts chapter 27. They crash the ship on this island called Malta, and the ship is wrecked just like God said, and everyone on board was saved just as Paul told them. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of like, how does Paul have that kind of faith? That he knows like the ship's going to go down, everybody's life's going to be saved. How does he have that much faith? I think it's because he had a big view of who God was in the middle of his storm. And so the fourth thing I want you to know is this. When your boat is getting rocked or when your ship gets wrecked, know that God is bigger than any storms you face. God is bigger than any storms you face. In fact, so many times we mope around or we have this fear about how great the storm is. And we talk about, oh, the storm I'm facing, it's so difficult. And we let that paralyze us from going forward. Instead of talking about how great our storm is, what if we looked at our storm and said to that storm, just as Jesus said to the storm, how great I am. What if we told the storm how great our God is? What would that do in your confidence in God and what God might want to do in you and through you? See, Paul didn't just learn this in a Bible study, how great God is. He experienced it. He was going away from God and persecuting Christians, and God zapped him off of a horse and called him to follow him through Jesus. And he decided to become a follower of Jesus, and his life was completely turned around, the power of God. Paul went and shared the gospel with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who were irreligious, who didn't care about Jesus, and they responded to the gospel and said, I want to have him too, the power of God. Paul was in prison, and so many things and afflictions happened to him, but God saved his life and spared him over and over and over, the power of God. He knew it. He experienced it. And I think it's easy to get overwhelmed by the storms we face in life. But I want you to know that God is bigger than any storm you face. And he's strong enough to help you in the middle of it. I had this experience. I was at Mercer University, probably my sophomore year. And I remember I was going through a very difficult storm. And without giving a lot of details, it was a very difficult time, something that had kind of happened. And I was kind of, the storm had kind of left me crippled from walking forward. I was kind of always looking at God and asking God, God, why did this happen? And how could this happen to me? And why, and why, and why? And my whys kept me from really moving forward into God, what do you want me to do? And what do you want to do in me and through me and teach me in this time? And so it's almost like I stopped living in the now and focused only on the problem of the storm. We do that. And in the middle of all this, as I'm kind of having a pity party about myself and what I'm going through in the storm, and it's so big, God, I turned on the radio and I'm sitting outside Mercer University's Wesley Foundation, getting ready to go in, and this song came on the radio. And it wasn't just a song that's got great lyrics. It was the voice of God to me at that moment. And it was a Casting Crowns song that says this, I will praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. And I realized that God was saying something to me today. Andy, don't let your storm, the storm you face, dictate your confidence in me. Don't let the storm prevent you from praising me in the middle of it. And it's kind of like I was at a moment in my car where I didn't feel like praising God, but I started singing praises to God and declaring who God is and what God has done. And my confidence in God started growing. And I started realizing that my view of the storm had become so magnified that I forgot that God was in the boat with me and he's bigger than any storm that I faced. And I want you to know that truth in your life today. God wants you to know that he's bigger than any storm you face. No matter what storm you might be going through, no matter what storm you may be faced with in the future, when your boat gets rocked or when your ship gets wrecked, God is bigger than any storm you face and he can help you through it. So the question is, what voice are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the voice of your surroundings, of everything that of your senses tell you? Are you going to listen to what God says? So if you praise God in the middle of your storm, God will remind you that when everything seems to be out of control, that God is still on the throne. He's got you and he's got this. And so as you consider everything that God has done and all that God is, instead of looking at your storm and declaring how big our storm is, what if we looked at our storm and said, worshiped God in the middle of that and said, God, how great you are. And we're going to do that in just a minute as we respond to the Lord, as we sing together, how great thou art. But let me pray for us as we consider that question this morning. God, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you speak to people like us. Thank you, God, that we can have confidence in you, not based on our surroundings, but God, not based on our senses, but God, based on who you are and what you've done. God, thank you that when it seems that we're weak and when it seems that everything is going against us, God, we thank you that if you're in the boat with us, that everything's going to be okay. God, we thank you that you can give us confidence to walk forward into the future. And so, God, maybe there's somebody in here today that's going through a storm in their life and they need to be reminded of this message. I want you to know today, God is with you. The God that died on the cross and rose from the grave is with you. And if somebody's in here today that maybe has never responded to Jesus before and maybe has never entered into a relationship to have the hope of Jesus in your life, maybe you would respond to that today. The invitation is available. And all you have to do is Jesus has already showed you his grace. Jesus has already offered you his love. And all we have to do is respond to it, to simply say, yes, God, I want you. I want you in my life. I want you driving my life. I want you in the boat with me. And if that's you, maybe you'd pray something like this, right in your seat. and God will save you of your sins and you can start a relationship. God, today, thank you that you're in the boat, that you want to be in the boat with me. And God, with everything that I've been sailing in my life, everywhere I've been going, God, I know that I need you. And God, today I want to turn from the way I've been sailing. And God, I want to sail your way. God, I want you to climb in the boat with me and I want you to start driving my life. God, save me on my sins and allow, today I want to invite you to become my Lord and my Savior. God, today I want to enter into a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.